Have you ever been in a public place, such as a shopping mall or a restaurant, where you overheard a conversation? And it was so fascinating and insightful and perhaps instructive that you just had to be part of it? So you actively listened in, you leaned over a bit and listened in, you wanted to hear everything. It's called purposefully eavesdropping. I was in one situation like that years ago. Believe it or not, I was a young, fit man. And as a young man, I was a horse logger. I didn't log horses. I used horses as motive power to pull logs out of the forest. And I was new to the logging industry, and of course, I had to start with very simple tools. But in working with horses, I became so very frustrated because I found them to be the most obstinate and stubborn animals that the Lord ever created. They just wouldn't do what I wanted them to do. One Saturday morning, I was in Vernon Cafe having breakfast when I overheard a conversation about horses. There was a group of older men down in the OGC. For those of you not familiar with the term, that's the old geezer's corner. Every restaurant has one. I'm part of one. I have an honored seat in one. One of the fellows was holding court, expounding on the use of horses and how to treat them. The conversation was so fascinating to me and so instructive that I just had to listen in. I couldn't leave it alone. So I moved my plate closer to the OGC. Well, sat down on a table, much to the displeasure of the waitress, but I just had to hear and learn about horses. Listening in on that conversation changed my life because I learned how to treat horses with dignity and respect. And as a result, I earned much more money because now the horses began to do what I wanted. I also learned that what applied to horses applies to people. If I treat people with dignity and respect, I enjoy them, and they enjoy me. Now, Scripture is a lot like that experience. We have the privilege of listening in or purposely eavesdropping on conversations between pastors and their congregations. And if you're anything like me, you want to move closer to the conversation because the subject matter is just so fascinating and insightful. Now, moving closer to the conversation means reading Scripture slowly, carefully, eagerly, and with anticipation, savoring every word and phrase, tasting the Lord in each passage. And we can gain instruction, reaping the benefit of Scripture's wisdom. So this morning, I'd like to spend a few minutes listening in to a conversation between the Apostle Peter and his congregation. 2 Peter 1, 2-9. Listen to Peter as he speaks. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Now, if I was there, I would be right up front. I would want to catch everything that Peter said. As we listen in on Peter's conversation, we note at least 3 points that he emphasizes. His first point is his goal. In this insightful discourse, his goal is that his hearers, and by extension us here today, should become holy people. He states, quote, that through his very great and precious promises, we may participate in the divine nature. And the divine nature, by very definition, is holy. That is to say, pure, undefiled, set apart from the world. If we were to listen in on another one of Peter's discussions, we would hear him declare, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do, for it stands written, be holy because I am holy. Now, Peter's second point, he states, God's divine nature has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Now, we all know that Christianity is not lived by our own strength. It is not accomplished by a pull yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality. It is accomplished by God's Holy Spirit working in and through us. It is His divine power, as Peter puts it, that achieves our sanctification, or our holy living, if you will. If we were to listen in on another one of Peter's fellow pastors, Paul, as he talks to his congregation in Philippi, quote, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. As we cooperate with God, He works in us. It is His divine power that works in us to do His will. Now, we all know this truth, especially me, but sometimes we forget, and I forget, and I try to accomplish God's will through my own strength, not relying on His divine power, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the third point that Peter emphasizes comprises 7 character traits or qualities that we should possess and that they should increase in measure as we progress in the Christian life. So whether we're 9 or 90, these qualities must be in evidence in some measure if we profess faith in Christ. Now, a few weeks back, if you cast your mind back, Pastor Steve, in a message, asked this question. What does it look like when the disciples of Jesus are intentional in their walk with the living God? He answered that question, but this passage, I believe, is another answer to what an intentional walk with the living God looks like. In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1, Peter gives us an if-then condition. It's a condition. If the following qualities are ours, and if they are increasing in measure, then, quote, we will be kept from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, end quote. But if these qualities are not ours, then, quote, we are nearsighted and blind and have forgotten that we have been cleansed from our past sins, end quote. To neglect progress in acquiring these qualities suggests that we have forgotten the depths from which we have been rescued. As Peter begins to expound on these seven qualities, this is where I pick up my spiritual food plate, as it were, and move closer to Peter, so I can catch every word and nuance of his instruction. Peter contends that if we take our faith in Jesus the Christ and add to or supplement our faith with a steadily increasing knowledge of God, which manifests itself in these seven qualities produced in us by God. Now, the word add to or supplement means a lavish or generous provision. So we are to provide for our faith these qualities in a lavish and generous manner, which builds our faith. So let's briefly take a look at these seven qualities or character traits. First, goodness. Or virtue, as it's sometimes translated. This quality has the concepts of strength, valor, and excellence. For the disciple of Jesus, it is the good and correct behavior. If we listen in to Paul as he expounds in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we find that he lists goodness as a fruit or a product of the Holy Spirit working in us. Second quality is knowledge. This quality has as its core the ability to perceive and understand our triune God. It is to have an intimate personal knowledge of doctrine, which leads then to a holy life. Third, and this is where I fall, and I need all your prayers, self-control, or temperance, as it is sometimes translated. This quality connotates the ability to master oneself, to be able to control one's emotions and temper and appetites, and is acquired through an increased knowledge of God. It's listed in Galatians 5 also, as a product or a fruit of the Holy Spirit working in us. Faith, supplemented by goodness and knowledge and self-control, and fourth, perseverance or patience, as it is sometimes translated. This quality is not patience with people, but patience in trying circumstances. Perseverance is to endure the vicissitudes of life, to keep on going despite adversity, to be steadfast and immovable. A parallel passage that we could listen in on is Romans 5, 3 to 5. Fifth, godliness. This quality has the concept of piety or holiness. It is to be God-fearing and devout, having a reverence for the Lord. Faith, supplemented by goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and sixth, brotherly kindness. This quality has as its base a fond affection for other believers because they're family. That's why we have the prayers of the people. We pray for each other because we're extremely affectionate toward each other because we're family. We could also listen in to Paul as he teaches the Roman church about brotherly kindness in chapter 12 of Romans, verses 9 to 13. And seventh, love, or charity as it's sometimes translated. This quality is a benevolence and an affection that goes to the wall for others. It goes above and beyond for others. Faith in the Lord Jesus, supplemented by and lavishly provided for by goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. As we listen in to Peter as he instructs his fellow believers, we find that it is Peter's desire that we become holy people, full of God's Holy Spirit, who enables us to have faith in the Lord and lavishly provides for that faith by working in us to produce seven qualities of life that will increase in measure as we progress through this life. And may that, by God's grace, be our desire as well. Amen.